All right. Well, we're in for a treat tonight. Brother Scott McElyea, youth pastor over at Crossroads Baptist Church. He's probably, I'd say out of the youth pastors in the area, I'm probably closest to him out of a lot of them. And I'm good friends with many around here. But we probably met, I don't know, 5-6 years ago. And I think the first time was at the Wilds is when our youth groups were there together. We kind of got to know each other. But I was asking Brother Scott, he was saying Brother Kenny, his pastor, ran a marathon yesterday. Well, he only ran 18.6 miles himself yesterday. So me and Brother Tommy, we got to pick it up. No, you got it. But we're going to have a good time tonight, and I'll give you all some instructions about the cake auction afterwards. And I found out Brother Scott, he's doing the auction here tonight, but he's also doing one later in the week at their kids' school, and then he's doing one at their church next Sunday night. So he's going to be auctioned out before it's all over with. But now Brother Scott is a great friend. He's a good man. I know you're going to enjoy what he has to say. I know he's going to have something from the Lord tonight, and he's one of those preachers that's just real. When you meet him, he's the same all the time. Every time you see him, he's just always in a good mood, and you can just trust who he is and what he has to say. And I appreciate him. I appreciate his friendship. Appreciate knowing there's another man just down the road sharing the same load and burden that I am, and we kind of know what each other goes through, and that encourages you. And so I appreciate who he is. And thinking about it, I think he's probably the second best youth pastor in Georgia. Second best. Brother Josh Ayers over at Victory is number one. Isn't that right, Stephen? So, all right. So y'all give your attention to Brother Scott, and I know you're in for a treat. Thank you.
Thank you, brother. Amen. Praise the Lord. I do appreciate those kind words. I think if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to 2 Kings is where we're going to be at, 2 Kings chapter number 3. I do appreciate the friendship I have with Brother Chad. He is a dear friend. I love him. When you're going through things, each of us have a friend, someone we know, a confidant, someone we can call, pick up the phone and call and just talk to. Of course, we have the Lord Jesus Christ, but someone. And Chad is that guy for me. He's a dear friend. I love the youth group. I'm close to several of them. You have a wonderful church. I do want to thank Brother Tommy and Brother Chad for the opportunity to preach and to have a little fun later with the dessert auction. I do love ministry. I love the youth group. Man, I love the Lord, no doubt about it. But yes, our pastor ran a marathon yesterday. He ran the Nashville marathon, and then he gets back in town, and he's at the hospital, I think, until like 2 or 2:30 in the morning with our church secretary, Miss Tommy. Please be in prayer for her. Many of you know her, Miss Tommy Manis. She had emergency surgery. It's doing well, and God worked in a great way through that. It could have been much, much uglier. But yeah, Pastor ran a marathon yesterday. I did the Outdoor Mafia Challenge is what it's called. It's a 12-hour race. It's a four-man relay where we each run a 5K in order for 12 hours. So that was fun as well. But if you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Kings chapter number 3. 2 Kings chapter number 3, we will be reading several verses. I want to bring across the extent of this Bible story, of this event that happened. Many of you who are Bible readers, and I would imagine many of you are, know this context, and you know what's going on here. Of course, King Ahab just died, and things are kind of interesting now, if you will. So let's read it. 2 Kings chapter number 3, verse number 5 is where we are going to start. The Bible says, "But it came to pass when Ahab was dead, that the king of Moab rebelled against the king of Israel. And King Jehoram, went out of Samaria the same time and numbered all Israel. And he went and sent to Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, saying, 'The king of Moab hath rebelled against me. Wilt thou go with me against Moab to battle?' And he said, 'I will go up. I am as thou art, and my people as thy people, and my horses as thy horses.' And he said, 'Which way shall we go up?' And he answered, 'The way through the wilderness of Edom.' So the king of Israel went, and the king of Judah and the king of Edom. And they fetched a compass of 7 days' journey. And there was no water for the host and for the cattle that followed them. And the king of Israel said, "Alas, that the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab." And Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not a prophet of the Lord, that we may inquire of the Lord by him?" And one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, "Here is Elisha the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah." And Jehoshaphat said, "The word of the Lord is with him." So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. And Elisha said unto the king of Israel, "What have I to do with thee? Get thee to the prophets of thy father and to the prophets of thy mother." And the king of Israel said unto him, "Nay, for the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab." And Elisha said, "As the Lord of hosts liveth before whom I stand, surely were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not look toward thee nor see thee. But now bring me a minstrel." And it came to pass, when the minstrel played, that the hand of the Lord came upon him. And he said, "Thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. And thus saith the Lord, ye shall not see wind, neither shall ye see rain, yet that valley shall be filled with water, that ye may drink, both ye and your cattle and your beasts. And this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. He will deliver the Moabites also into your hand. And ye shall smite every fenced city and every choice city, and shall fell every good tree, and stop all wells of water, and mar every good piece of land with stones. And it came to pass in the morning, when the meat offering was offered, that behold, there came water by the way of Edom, and the country was filled with water. And when all the Moabites heard that the kings were come up to fight against them, they gathered all that were able to put on armor and upward, and stood in the border. And they arose up early in the morning, and the sun shone upon the water, and the Moabites saw the water on the other side as red as blood. And they said, "This is the blood. The kings are surely slain, and they have smitten one another. Now therefore, Moab, to the spoil." And when they came to the camp of Israel, the Israelites rose up and smote the Moabites, so that they fled before them. But they went forward, smiting the Moabites, even into their country. What a wonderful passage of Scripture. I love this passage of Scripture. I've entitled this message, "The Struggle is Real." The struggle is real. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for your goodness. You're such a good God to us. And we thank you for this event that happened, and how we can glean from it, and we can be strengthened from it. I pray that you'll speak to our hearts through your word. It's in your name we pray. Amen. The truth of the matter is we all have struggles. Every one of us has something that we are struggling with. Maybe it's a family issue. Maybe it's a financial issue. Maybe it's an issue at work. Maybe it's an issue where something's going on and you just don't have answers. And you've prayed and you've asked God, "What in the world is going on?" And you're seeking help from the Lord, or you're seeking what God is doing through this. But the truth is, every one of us has a struggle that we're going through, just came out of, or getting ready to go into. If we were to go through the room and take a microphone and hand it to every couple and every person, each and every one of you would be able to discuss something that is going on. Something that you maybe not have told everybody else. Something that maybe you and your spouse only know about. But the truth is we all go through struggles. And no doubt, as we read this passage, no doubt the Israelites were in a moment and in a time of struggle. You know, our struggles often, they're specific, they're sure, and they're serious. Many times our struggle can bring about distraught, they can bring about discouragement, and they can bring about defeat. No doubt our struggles oftentimes get us down. You know, I'm reminded of the life of the Apostle Peter. When Peter walked on water, you know the event that happened. When he walked on water, when his eyes got off the Lord Jesus Christ and they got on the winds and the waves, he started to sink. But immediately when he got his eyes back on the Lord Jesus Christ, he came back up to the top. We understand that when we go through life, we go through struggles. And we can't help but take
our struggles and try to manipulate the situation. We try to manipulate people. We try to figure it out, because that's what we do and that's what we're good at, is figuring it out. I don't want you to speak audibly, but what is your struggle tonight? What are you going through? The kids haven't come to see you. Maybe somebody at work is trying to step over you in the ladder of success. Maybe there's some bully at school. Maybe you just can't get a break. It just seems like paycheck to paycheck and you just can't get ahead. We all go through struggles. Here in verse number 10, actually twice, once when he was talking to the other kings, and then a second time when he was talking to Elisha, but the king of Israel said, "Alas, that the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab." In this situation, imagine, you're the guy who started the plan. You go to your the king of the south. You find the king of Edom. You go through that land, all three kings together. You've got them. You've got their people. You've got their cattle. You've got their horses. You've got all the animals that are with them. You've got everything. And you're several days' journey into it. And then you realize you don't have enough water. And everybody is thirsty. I don't know if you've gone long without water, but man, you can get delirious very, very quickly. And your people can turn on you very, very quickly. And then on top of that, you have the Moabites that you're getting ready to do battle with. They stopped paying that tribute that King Ahab had made them pay. And so there's like some contention there. And so imagine, if you will, if you're in the king of Israel's shoes, what in the world are you going to do? It's not just your personal struggle. It is you're dealing with the entire nation's struggle and two other nations on top of that. The struggle is real. I want to look at a few quick points. I'm not going to be too long. One of my favorite podcasts, Preach the Word podcast, they do it out of Laurel Baptist Church. I absolutely love that one. They finish every episode of the podcast with the statement, "Preach it straight and preach it strong, but whatever you do, don't preach too long." So we're going to try to incorporate that tonight. But first thing I want to see is the struggle conceived. The struggle conceived. Of course, we understand here in this passage, he had a couple factors at hand here. First of all, the first factor he dealt with was dealing with the Moabites. That's something that maybe he didn't know he was going to deal with several days beforehand, but it was an outside source. It was something that he couldn't really control to some extent. That was his control to go after him, but it was something he couldn't control to some extent. If you were in his shoes and they were paying tribute to your father, the king of King Ahab, of course, was a very wicked man, but stop paying tribute, immediately the country starts looking to you. And they're going to try to figure out, is this a man of war? Is this a manly man? Or is this some kind of wimp? And so when they stopped paying tribute, he had to step up as a king, if you will, and kind of broaden out his shoulders and say, no, I'm not a man you can mess with. I'm not a king you can mess with. So his source of his struggle was a little bit outside of his control to some extent. But also, he's also going through another struggle here. The people didn't have enough water. Now, there's no doubt that this was his fault. He could have easily prepared for that and made preparations and planning for that. But no doubt about it, he was dealing with two massive struggles. One was beyond his control and one was within his control. And you know what? No matter what your struggle is, no matter what you're going through, they will fall under one of those two categories by default. Something that you've created. You've created a mess and you don't know what to do. You did something, you made a bad decision, or you said something to somebody you shouldn't have said, or you haven't resolved that conflict with that family member, and it's unresolved conflict and something of that nature. Maybe something we did, but it may be something you didn't do at all. It may be something where you truly are the victim in this situation and in this struggle, where somebody decided to do something or say something. Whatever the case is, we all go through struggles. And you know, we can't help it sometimes, but we can sometimes. But what struggle are you going through? And to be honest, whether it's your fault or somebody else's fault, the truth is this struggle is just the same. It's in our life, and it's real. And we don't see the way out sometimes. We don't see that hope like the king of Israel couldn't see. We don't see what's going on. We try to finagle. We try to fix it, don't we? We try to go through the issue and work through it, and we might make a list of pros and the cons, or we might try to figure it out with our own brain power. But the truth is, sometimes the struggles are just that. They're struggles. So I see the struggle conceived, but then I see the simple command. I see the struggle conceived, then I see the simple command. In verse number 16, there's a very, very simple command given. A very simple. And you know what? When we come to our struggles, we overcomplicate it all of the time. We make it so big and we make it so complex with so many different moving parts. And we don't have to do that. Oftentimes, our struggles can be resolved very, very simply. But here in this passage, in these struggles, the simple command was, make this valley full of ditches. Make this valley full of ditches. You know, they found the man of God, and they got to the man of God. And if it wasn't for Jehoshaphat, Elisha wouldn't have even talked to him. So it was using his credibility, which I think is pretty interesting. Because when Jehoshaphat asked, hey, is there not a man of God here? Let's consult with God about our issues. Notice, he didn't consult with God before they went. He only consulted with God once the struggle became real. Now, no doubt, each and every one of us, we ought to be walkers with God. We ought to have devotions, our personal time with God. We ought to walk with Jesus every day of our lives. And so when struggles come, we're already close to the Lord. But no doubt about it, whether you're close to the Lord or whether you walk with God or not, when the struggle comes in, get to God and get to Jesus as quick as you can. And so they got to the man of God, and his response was, hey, make this valley full of ditches. Just dig ditches. You know, so many times we complicate it. But a very, very simple command. It didn't make sense. Why in the world would you have our men who are hot? They're in the valley of Edom. They've got the mountainous territory around them. They've got all kinds of clay and sand or whatever. I know the area is full of clay. But why would you have them dig ditches? Hard labor. They don't have any water. They're tired. You would imagine they're delirious. What were the people saying? Now, the people didn't hear the man of God. That's being relayed through the kings. So what are they thinking? These kings. Now, you don't think straight when you're not getting water. You're digging ditches. And imagine, are they thinking they're digging their own graves? Imagine some of the complaints that maybe, if they're anything like me or people I know, we complain and we struggle with things like that. The simple command, though, was dig ditches. And the truth of the matter is this dig ditches was a huge act of faith. Because they had to have faith in the man of God and the word of God coming to the man of God to do that and follow through. Dig ditches. Now, it's interesting also, the proportion of their reward was completely attributed to their portion of faith. How much faith they had, how many ditches they dug, how much water they get. No doubt about it. But it was an act of faith. And it's interesting, though, when we go through struggles, we try to complicate it and we try to struggle with it. And we try to make it bigger than what it is oftentimes. And we try to finagle it. But you know Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it's such a solid verse. And I know all of you all know it. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thine own understanding. Now see, that part right there, that's hard for me to get over. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Why does the Bible say that? He says trust in the Lord already. Because oftentimes we say we're trusting God, but we still try to finagle it. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. No doubt that passage of Scripture rang true here in this time frame. No doubt that the principle of that passage of Scripture rang true. So what is it in life? What do we need to do? Well, see, the Bible tells us everything we need to do in life. If you're having problems with a family member or a friend and you're quarreling and you're fighting and you're arguing all the time, well, the Bible talks to us about love and forgiveness. If you're going through a problem with finances, well, the Bible talks to us about how to deal with our finances. You're dealing with the problem of this or that or whatever problem you're facing, the answer is found in its simplicity in the Word of God. You see, we have God's Word to help us and to guide us. I see the struggle conceived, and then I see the simple command. Now, whatever struggle you're dealing with, the simple command is different for each of us, but it's all found in the same place, in the Word of the Lord. We can find rest, and we can find comfort, and we can find help in the Word of the Lord. So the struggle conceived, the simple command, and then lastly and quickly, the strategic conquering. The strategic conquering. Now, I think this is awesome. I think this is interesting. Why did they go to Elisha? Because they didn't have water. But what did God do in proportion to their faith? He not only gave them water, but he also conquered the enemy. He gave them icing on top of the cake. Speaking of that, we have an auction later, right? Very good. And that's how the Lord works. That's exactly how he works. When we have faith in him, he honors that faith. He will never leave us. I love that choir song talking about what God did in the years and the patriarchs of the faith and what God did and the life events of these men of the Bible. What an awesome thing. But you know what? They obeyed and God came through. Simple as that. It's as simple as that. What if they hadn't dug ditches? How many of them would have died that day? Either at the hands of the Moabites or at the hands of the elements. What if they hadn't followed through the simple command? What if they decided to stop? What if in your situation you decide to stop? You give up reading the Bible. You give up on that family member. You give up on an interpersonal relationship issue. You give up on whatever. Listen, that's not what God's about. Don't quit on God, as brother's saying. Don't quit, because God's got us, no doubt about it. The strategic conquering, I see just a couple points under this, and I'll be done. I see the promise of God. You know, they had a promise. God gave them something. You know what? If God gives you something, don't you dare quit on that. Don't you dare doubt that. Because God has a plan and a purpose for every one of you. And God has something very special for each one of you guys over here. Everyone in this auditorium, but you guys, God has something for you. You have your entire lives to live. Don't you dare give up on God. And some of y'all are going to think about giving up. Your friends are going to influence you to give up. Now these, I would imagine the rest of this auditorium is full of mature Christians. That's what I would imagine. I give you the benefit of the doubt. But for you as well, don't give up on God. But listen guys, you're going to be tempted. And if you look at statistics, most of you will not be here after graduation. And I love the fact that Brother Chad and Brother Tommy in this church, your statistics are vastly different than the norm. Your guys stay around and they serve God. And that's wonderful. But don't you dare give up on God, because he has a plan for your life. He has a purpose for you. And if you give up on God now, you will never live up to your potential. But God has something so much vast and so much bigger than we can ever dream or ever imagine. I see the promise of God, but then I see the power of God. He says, it is but a light thing in verse 18. It's a light thing. To God. Listen, no matter how big your problem is, no matter how large your struggle is, it is nothing to God. He's so much larger than your problems. And we've got a very big God. And if you learn to trust God, if you learn to have faith in God, he will help you through your struggle. Whatever your struggle is, no matter how big your struggle, he will help you through it. The promise of God, the power of God. Oh, but the punctuality of God. You know, he's right on time. Every time. And you know, as the Moabites were standing up top above this valley, and they looked out and they saw what they thought was blood, and it was just ditches full of water. Now, we don't know if the water magnified the red clay and it looked like that, or if it reflected the red mountains. Of course, the land of Edom was known for that redness. But whatever it is, they looked down and saw that. And God knew exactly what he was doing, and he was right on time. God has never been late. Ever been late. So if you're still going through that struggle, God has it in there for a reason. So whatever it is, you can trust God. Now imagine though, who would have ever thought that God would have worked it out this way? You know, I wish there was a way that, like a movie, you can watch a movie and you don't know what's going to happen until it happens. With the Word of God, we can't really do that because it's all written down for us right here. But man, could you imagine starting off and not knowing? Put yourself in their shoes. We see the end of the story, but put yourself in their shoes. They're thirsty. They don't have water. They go to the man of God. He says, dig ditches. People start digging ditches. Who would have ever thought that God would have done that? But you see, God's ways are not our ways. And his thoughts are not our thoughts. He knows what's going on from the beginning to the end. He knows why we're going through struggles. He knows exactly what you're going through. Listen, your struggle isn't a surprise to God. And in fact, he's allowed it into our lives for a reason. Whether it's our fault or something else. It's strategic conquering. Listen, our lives, we can live our lives strategically in God's hands. Well, we can plan and we can prepare, and I'm all for planning and preparing. I love planning and preparing. I over-plan sometimes. You should see me and Chad planning an activity. It's interesting, to say the least, right? But we can plan and we can prepare for things. But the truth is, when it comes down to life, we've got to learn to trust Jesus. We've got to walk with Jesus every step of the way. You know, we see... In Hebrews, the definition or the description of faith is found in Hebrews 11, but the definition of faith is found in Hebrews 12, looking unto Jesus. And I promise you, young people, I promise you, church member, if we learn to look to Jesus, our struggles won't seem so large. Our struggles won't seem so big if we learn to look to Jesus. So what are you going through tonight? Are you giving it to Jesus? Are you dealing with a problem with a family member? Are you dealing with a work issue? Are you dealing with a bully? Are you dealing with questioning life? I don't know what to do with my life. I don't know what school to go to, what career path to go to. What is your struggle? God's here for you. Why don't we all stand together? We'll have the pianist come. Whatever you're going through in life, I assure you, God can help. Brother Tommy.
I thank you for the message tonight. As heads bowed and eyes closed, as the musicians begin to play, if you need to just kind of come and lay a burden on the altar, just go ahead and come on right now as the music has begun. Just, we all have burdens. Amen. Amen. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. A lot of young people wanting to pray tonight. Well, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. We'll have Lisa and Glenn keep playing. Amen. Thank you. Now, dear Lord, I want to thank you for the story that we heard preached from tonight. Lord, I want to thank you that you brought Scott and to deliver the message. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to realize that the problems and the burdens that we carry in our life, we can lay them at the cross. And I pray, Lord, that we would do everything that we can do, that we would dig every ditch that we can dig, but then we let you fill the ditches with water. And so I pray, Father, that we would have deep, deep faith. And I pray that tonight those that have come to this altar to pray, I pray that you'd give them victory. Give them a trust and a faith that only is one that comes from a believer that really needs something to happen in their life. And so I pray, Father, that you would bless those that have come to pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I thank you for being here this evening. And I hope that you're going to be able to go downstairs. I tell you what I want you to do. I want you to look right to your left, my right, and I want you to see the sweet lady right here. Miss McElyea? Did I pronounce that name right? Okay. All righty. This is Brother Scott's sweet wife. And I'm going to tell you, if it's not for godly wives, you don't have godly preachers. They said behind every great man's a great woman. And my wife says that you might be the head of the church. No, she said, you might be the head of the home, but I'm the neck that turns the head. And so anyway, I'm glad that you're here. We didn't get a chance to introduce you earlier, and I appreciate you being here. You were here the last time as well, 2 years ago. Amen. That's wonderful. Well, I hope that you'll get a chance to speak to Miss McElyea, okay? Chad's going to give us...
I'm sorry. I thought he was going to forget me there.
No. Yeah, Chad's going to give us instructions, and so come give them to us.
All right. I jumped the gun on him. I thought he was forgetting me. All right, so this is what we're going to do. Food's already out. It's all going to be in the gym tonight. And so when you go down, you need to focus on three things, okay, A, B, C. You need to get you a plate and start eating, and we're going to pray here, and you can go ahead and start eating. You'll see a registration table down there, and there'll be some teenagers down there registering. It'll be real simple. You'll put your name on a piece of paper. They'll write your name on a piece of paper and hand you a little number, okay? So you'll need to eat and register and then take a gander at the cakes. The cakes are all laid out in front of the stage. And go through, pick out the one you want or five of them, whatever you want to buy tonight. And then we'll get started after everybody kind of gets down there and gets settled. Do ask you to do this. We're going to keep track of what you buy, but we also want you to keep track of what you buy. So if you got a pen, we got a few pens down there in the registration table. We don't have enough for everybody. But if you can kind of keep track, maybe even write down on your little flyer what you bought and how much you paid for it, okay? And we're going to be doing the same. But a lot of times the last few years we've had some confusion at the end. So if you're keeping track and we're keeping track, maybe we'll get it, all right? And also, if you brought a cake tonight, please make sure it's down there on the table, because we had some spread out around downstairs in different places and closets. No, I'm kidding. In refrigerators, and just make sure your cakes are out there and ready to go, and they should be out there by now. But, and I think that's it. We're going to do the blessing up here. So let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for tonight. Thank you for the word that we heard, Father. It touched my heart, and I know it touched many other hearts. And, Lord, there's burdens in this room.